You've crushed it. You've built real wealth. But let us ask you something. If you stepped away today, how long will it last?
For many successful families, the uncomfortable truth is this. What they have built works because they're still in the center of it. Right now, your wealth may be strong, but is it complete?
At the Kitty Sisters, we see wealth as a system built across 5 layers. When each one layer is missing, wealth doesn't fail immediately. It fractures quietly. You don't feel it day to day until scale, complexity, or time exposes it.
That's exactly why we created the Where Wealth Breaks assessment. It maps your current wealth against the 5-layer legacy cake, revealing the gap between where your wealth stands today and what it needs to endure beyond you.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessment now at wherewealthbreaks.com.
Imagine knowing clearly and objectively which layers are solid, which relies too heavily on you, and which haven't been built yet. Because building wealth and keeping it require different systems.
This isn't about chasing returns. It's about strengthening the system, holding them together. You've made it. Now the question is whether your wealth is layered, governed, and structured to last.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessments toward building multi-generational freedom at wherewealthbreaks.com. That is wherewealthbreaks.com.
Today, we're talking about real estate markets. If you want to compound your wealth and generate durable cash flow through real estate, the most valuable thing you can do is build a market research system. This is the framework and the process for figuring out which markets are worth your capital, which ones to avoid, and where we're willing to deploy our own money every single time. Thanks for listening to the First of the Valley podcast. We hope today's conversation left you feeling inspired and maybe even equipped with one idea you can take with you as you turn earned income into own income and build something that actually lasts.
If today's conversation resonates, here's how you can support the show and help it reach more families, investors, and entrepreneurs who are creating a lasting legacy. Hit follow and share this episode with someone who's thinking beyond themselves and into generations after them.
And if you're feeling generous, leave a review. Means more than you know. Those few words help the right listeners find these conversations right when they need it most. By doing this, you're helping families build legacy, certainty, and continuity.
For show notes, links, and resources from today's episode, head to thekittysisters.com.
Now look, my sister Nancy and I have scaled to nearly $500 million in assets across multiple markets, returned $45 plus million to our investors, and helped families preserve $110 million plus dollars in taxes. We've underwritten through a full rate cycle. We've been right, and we've been wrong enough times to know exactly which factors actually predicts the outcome. And I'll say this now and come back to it. The hardest part of this was never the data. It was everything the data can't tell you. But the problem is getting all of that judgment into one AI flow that actually works. It's been hard. Every version we tried gave us confident answers built on stale data. The good news is we finally figured it out, and I'm going to show you exactly what it looks like running it live on real markets in this video. We call it the AI Market Research System. It pulls in live data and grades any metro in America across the 7 factors that actually drive returns. So in this video, I'm going to walk you through how this system works, why it works so well, and the 7 factors it grades on every single market so you can pressure test any market that lands on your desk. All right, let's dive in. Before I show you anything, let me explain why this is hard, because there are 3 ways people try to solve this, and all 3 fails for reasons worth understanding. You open an AI chat and you type in, is Raleigh a good market? What comes back reads fine. Growing population, business friendly, strong job market, confident, well written, and useless. Because there's no pipeline number in there, no absorption figure, no eviction timeline, and half of it is probably 2-year stale. It gave you adjectives when you needed arithmetic. So do it yourself. You go site to site and assemble. Rent numbers from one place, population from another, a top 10 markets for 2026 list for a third, and somewhere in the 9 tabs, you find something on construction. Here's the problem that nobody tells you. Half of those sources are selling something in the market that they're ranking. Objectivity there. I wonder where it goes. The best places to invest list, who published it? Often the turnkey provider with inventory there, a sponsor raising for a deal there, a brokerage with a listing there. That's not fraud, and they're not lying to you. It's just that nobody publishes a list of markets they have no position in. And even where the source is clean, you now have 7 numbers from 7 places with 7 different dates and 7 different definitions of the same word. One site's rent growth is asking rents. Another is effective rents after concessions. Those are different numbers. You just put them in the same column. You're not doing research. You're doing a scavenger hunt where half of the clues were written by someone with a position. Or you skip it entirely and borrow someone else's list. The webinar, the podcast, that guy you met at the mastermind who won't stop stop talking about Huntsville or the guy that told me Detroit is up and coming. Yeah, I'll believe that when pigs fly. Those type of information fails for a quieter reason. Their list was built for their holding period, their cost of capital, their operating team. A market that works for a group buying at scale with in-house management is not automatically right for you writing an LP check. The list was never about the market. It was about them. And then there's the one I actually understand. You invest in your backyard. It's close. You know the streets, or at least you are familiar with the street names, the city names. You've watched the neighborhood change. Familiar is not the same thing as good. All four of those are the same mistake wearing a different coat. Chatbot answers, scavenger hunt, borrowed lists, or your own backyard. Everyone substitutes familiarities for fundamentals, either yours or someone else's. So what's the actual way to do this? We built a system for it. It's called Aerie. It's the operating system Nancy and I run our own investing on. And this is a market research engine. You give a city, it pulls the current data, federal employment, census, migration, multifamily rent and occupancy reports, construction pipeline, county tax, eviction rules, and grades that market across 7 factors. A letter grade on each, 1 verdict. Investment grade, watch, or pass. And every number it gives you is source, so you can go check it yourself. Which, given what I just said about who writes those lists, it's that part that matters. So let me run a real one. Quick note on what's happening underneath this before I type anything. The system isn't guessing, and it isn't remembering. Every time it runs, it goes and pulls current figures, federal employment data, census, migration, apartment rent, occupancy reports, construction data pipeline, county tax, eviction rules. Some of those data sets, the multifamily supply and absorption ones especially, sits behind institutional subscription that runs into the tens of thousands of dollars a year. That's not a pitch. That's just why most individual investors have never seen this view of the market. The data wasn't hidden from you. It was priced away from you. All right, so let's run one. I'm going to run Raleigh, North Carolina on purpose because Raleigh is the market you're most likely to get pitched this year. First thing back is a snapshot, and there's an argument buried in one line. A top tier tech and talent growth market, digesting a big construction wave. Hold on to that word, digesting. It's going to explain this whole scorecard. Job growth, A-, unemployment at 4.4%, below the state's 4.7, and the base is Research Triangle Park. IBM, Cisco, SAS, Red Hat, sitting next to Duke, NC State, and UNC. Migration A, growing 2.4% a year, 10th fastest metro in the country, with about 39,000 people a year moving in, net. And notice it splits that, roughly 24,000 domestic, 15,000 international. That matters because those two respond to completely different things. Domestic migration follows jobs and cost of living. International follows universities and migration policy. A market leaning hard on one is exposed in a way a headline number will never show you. Now, the one nobody checks, industry diversity, A-. Tech, life science, and pharma, higher education, government. Why does this get its own grade? Because growing job and resilient jobs are not the same thing. A metro can add jobs faster than any in America and still be fragile if too many of them answer to one industry. Growth tells you about the next 3 years. Diversity tells you about the next 30. The banana you eat is a clone. Every plant genetically identical, which is why one fungus can end an entire global crop. Sameness is the risk, not slowness. Raleigh grades well. Hold that thought, because when we run Charlotte, you're going to see what a B looks like and why it's the most interesting grade in this whole video. A-, A, and then rent trends comes back C-. Rent growth plus 0.1%. Average rent, $1,539. Occupancy, 93.1% and slipping. The fastest growing tech market in the Southeast, and rents did nothing. But look one line over before you conclude anything. Absorption, about 19,400 units absorbed since 2024. 5,100 this year alone. Those units are getting filled. Demand is not the problem. Here's the answer. One row down, supply pipeline, B-. Inventory grew 15% across 2023 and 2024. In 2 years, this market added 15% more apartments, and they're still leasing up. That's why rents are flat, not weak demand. 19,000 units of demand showed up. Supply just showed up first and in volume. And this is the number that separates people who read markets from people who read headlines. The pipeline is down 30% in the past year. Most investors, if they check the supply at all, check units under construction. That's a snapshot of today. The direction of the pipeline is a forecast. 15% already built against a pipeline. Contracting 30% tells you the softness on your screen is a tail wave that's already broken, not the front of one. The grade is C+ on rent. The trajectory says C+ has an expiration date. Affordability affordability, B minus. Median home, $415,000 stretched, but median income, $85,000, which put rent to income around 23%. That's the ratio I want you to remember. Rent divided by income. Above 30 and renters are stretched, which caps how much further rent can push, no matter what the demand does. Rent doesn't rise to what the market will bear. It rises to what the paycheck will pay. 22% means Raleigh has real room to run once supply clears. And landlord climate, B plus. No rent control, and North Carolina prevents cities from adding it. Fast evictions, moderate property tax, business-friendly state. That factor never excites anybody, except for investors. It's the one that decides whether a non-paying tenant costs you 6 weeks or 11 months. Not investment grade, not pass. Elite demand, soft price, and a thinning pipeline. Growth and appreciation market, not a one-day cash flow market. Honestly, I'd push back on the C plus. That grade is scoring what rent did last year. Everything underneath it says next year looks different. The system graded the weather. I'm buying the season. That's the part it can't do for you. One market tells you about the market. Three tells you what's actually happening. And this is the part you can't do by hand because the pattern only exists in comparison. Same state, all three. Migration comes back A plus. Charlotte is adding 157 residents a day. North Carolina ranked number one in the country in domestic migration. That's the strongest demand grade in the batch. And rents are down 3.2%. 11 straight quarters of decline. Now here's a number that changes what that means. Vacancy, 6.2%. Stay with me because this is the whole thing. 11 quarters of falling rents with vacancy at 6% is not a demand problem. If nobody wanted to live there, vacancy would be 12, 14%. The units are getting filled. They're getting filled at lower rents. That's not weak demand. That's landlords competing on price. While 18,000 new units lease up, 12,000 absorb against 13,000 delivered. That's near equilibrium. Amateurs see falling rents and read weak demand. Falling rents with low vacancy is a supply story, and supply stories end. And this one ends in 2026, when completion drops 23%. That distinction is worth more than any market list you've ever been handed. Raleigh comes back with the same snap. A-minus job, A-migration, C-plus on rent. Pipeline down about 30%. Different city, identical diagnosis. Elite demand, temporary ingestion. Then Greensboro. The migration comes back C-plus. 800,000 people, growing about 1% a year. The worst demand grade in the batch by a distance. And it's the only invest grade mark in the three. What? Look at why. Supply grew about 7% versus 15% in Raleigh. 1,400 units under construction, down 20% year over year. Rents up 2.5%. Occupancy above 95 and climbing nearly 5 points. Median home, $285,000 against $415,000 and $412,000 in the other two. Plus a $14 billion Toyota battery plant that started production last year. And I want to flag something about that plant because it cuts both ways. And the scorecard is honest about it. $14 billion, 3,000 jobs, production already running. That's a real catalyst. Not an announcement, not a press release, actual output. But notice the system still gave Greensboro a B on industry diversity. And that's correct. A single employer that large is a demand catalyst and a concentration risk at the same time. Every job Toyota adds makes its market stronger and it makes it more dependent on Toyota. Sameness is the risk, which is exactly why it's a B and not an A. The plant's a good news. It's just good news you underwrite, not celebrate. Here's what three markets showed me that one couldn't. Two markets with the best growth stories and the two you can't buy into. And the market with the worst growth grade is the only one where the numbers work right now. Every single thing that made Raleigh and Charlotte attractive is the same thing that filled them with cranes. Growth attracts capital. Capital builds supply. Supply eats rent. The magnet is the problem. Ground that's been dry long enough stops absorbing water. When the rain finally comes, it doesn't sink in. It sheds and the water floods. The problem was never how much water. It was the rate. Greensboro isn't better than Charlotte. It's earlier. Nobody built there, so nothing has to be cleared. And if you had researched any one of these three alone, you would have gotten a defensible answer and completely missed this. So tell me, what market are you being pitched right now? Drop in the city in the comment. I want to see which ones keep coming up because I'll tell you honestly, when the same market shows up 40 times on one comment section, that in itself is a data point about where capital is crowding. Let me close the loop I opened at the beginning. I said the hardest part was never the data. Here's what I mean. Everything you watched took a few minutes to run. Three markets, seven factors, 21 grades, every number source. And at the end of it, the system handed me a verdict. It did not hand me the judgment to act on it because look at what actually happened in that Charlotte block. The screen said 11 straight quarters of failing rent. That's the fact. And that pointed in one direction. Stay away. This market is broken. I read the opposite. Falling rents with 6% vacancy isn't broken demand. It's supply clearing. curing, and supply curing has an ending. That read is the difference between passing on Charlotte and buying Charlotte near the bottom of the cycle. The data didn't tell me that. The data can't tell you that. I know it because I've underwritten through a full rate cycle, because I've watched a market look exactly like that before, and I see how the story finished, because I've been wrong enough times to know which factor was actually doing the work. The system gave me the read. This scar tissue gave me the answer. And I want to be honest with you about what this means for the thing you just watched. You now have 7 factors. You know that growing job and resilient jobs are not the same. You know why falling rents can be a buy sign. You know to check the direction of the pipeline, not the size of it. That's real. Keep that. But here's the gap, and I'd rather say it than let you find out on your own. Somebody's going to send you a deal in the next 90 days, probably sooner. Probably a market that looks a lot like the ones we just ran. Strong migration, softening rent, a sponsor with a good story about why the timing is perfect. And you'll be able to grade that market now. You'll see the C+, and then you'll be standing exactly where I was, holding an accurate reading and having to decide what it means. Whether that C+ is a market that's broken or a market that's early. Whether the sponsor's timing thesis is real or convenient. That decision doesn't come from data. It comes from having seen the pattern before. And that's the part I can hand you, not the software, the reasoning. So here's where things stand. Aerie isn't open yet. We built it for ourselves. We've been running our own capital through it, and we're opening it in stages, because the fastest way to ruin a system like this is to hand it to everyone at once before it's ready. So there's a waiting list, links below. If what you just watched is the thing you want pointed at your own deal flow, put your name on it and you'll hear from us when we open up the next group. But I don't want you sitting on a waiting list doing nothing for 90 days. So in the meantime, download the multifamily roadmap. It's free. It's a framework underneath everything you just watched today. How we think about markets, how we evaluate deals once the market clears, and what the path actually looks like from your first passive position to the portfolio that runs without you. And here's the honest part. You don't need Aerie to use what I showed you. You need 7 factors, and you need to know what that means. And you have both. You can open a browser after this video, pull the employment number, the migration number, the rent trend, the pipeline direction, the rent to income ratio, and the eviction timeline for any market in America. It would take you an afternoon instead of a few minutes. The system doesn't make you smarter. It makes you faster at being right. The being right part is a roadmap. That's why it's free. And that's why it's a thing I actually want you to take from today. One last thing. The reason I care about this, really, that most people never get to be the person in the room who knows. They get handed the market and the story about the market, and they not, because what else are they going to do? You just watched 3 markets in the same state get graded, and the one with the worst growth story was the one you actually buy. Nobody handed you that. You watched it happen. That's the whole difference. Not access to better deals, access to your own judgment. Go run a market. Hey, we're Palmy and Nancy Kitty, the Kitty Sisters, and we're here to help you turn earned income into own income and build what actually lasts.
From a $2,000 bank account to nearly $500 million in real estate assets, earning our way into rooms we once never thought we belong in. Along the way, we learn success isn't just about making it, it's about making it last.
Here we share money, real estate, and investing strategies, but more importantly, we talk about the systems and decisions that create legacy, certainty, and continuity.
If you value speed, convenience, and execution certainty, and if you're building not just for yourself, but for the generations after you, you're in the right place.
This is the first of the family podcasts.